Okay. There's a very, very beautiful maimer of the Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Huttner, Ma'amar Gimel and Chanukah, that I think would serves as a good introduction to Hilchos Chanukah, that he points out that there's a Gemara, a Mishnah in Chagiga. And of Tetzayin Amud Aleph, Yossi ben Yoezer Omer Shalolismoch, Yossi ben Yochanan Omer Lismoch, Yeshu ben Prachi Omer Shalolismoch, Nitai Harbeli Omer Lismoch. We have a machokas in terms of smicha of a korban on Yontif. And Rashi over there points out, Zohi machokas harishona shahaya hayasa b'chach ben Yisrael. That this was the first machokas that came about in the history of Chachmei Yisrael. Namely, until then, there had been a Masoris. There had been a Masoris of Ish Mipi Ish, Moshe Kibbel Torah Misinai, Masorah LeYoshua. Moshe Rabbeinu either told Yoshua, Somchim B'Yom Tov, or Ein Somchim B'Yom Tov. But when it came to the time of Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan, they already developed a disagreement. And the Medrash Rabbah points out that Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan, they were the Zug who lived at the time of Pulbus Shel Yavan, namely that this Machlokes was a result of the Gzeros of Yavan. Yavan was Gozer, L'Hashkicham Torasecha. All of the Gzeros were meant to cause us to forget the Torah, and it worked, and we forgot what is the Halacha in terms of Smicha on Yontif, that this is the nature of Yavan. Sohu Vavohu V'choshech Al Pnei Sahom. Sohu Zo Bavel, Bohu Zo Madai, Choshech Zo Yavan. And then, of course, Tahom we're still in terms of Golos Edom, who had in terms of Chashecha Gedola, in the Brisbane of Masarim, they represented the Golos of Yavan. That this Chashecha, Choshech was meant for the power of Shichecha to cause us to forget the Torah. Kosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, runs the world. And within Isra'usa Dilatata of the Chashmonaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a tremendous Itarusa Dila'ela in terms of Rabbim Biyad Ma'atim, Tmeim Biyad Tahorim, Rishayim Biyad Tzadikim. And what came about was that Bedafka, out of this Shichacha, came a tremendous Ribui Torah. That just as Chazal point out towards the end of Menachos, that when Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos, Bitula Zohi Kiyuma, and there's a tremendous Beis Halevi that explains that the Luchos Rishonos, everything was in the Luchos Rishonos. There would be no Torah Shebaal Peh. Everything was Chokuk in the Luchos Rishonos, that the Luchos Shnios allowed for a Torah Shebaal Peh, allowed for a man-introduced element. So Hu Hadin, the Shichacha of Yavan, allowed for a tremendous ribui of Torah Shebaal Peh, that now Somchin b'yom tov, ein somchin b'yom tov. Both of these are now Torah Shebaal Peh. Elu ve'elu divrei Elohim chayim. The Torah Shebaal Peh was able to grow exponentially from that time and be able to be on the level of pulling us through Golas Edom until Amir Tzashem will return to a level of clarity of Smechim K'nisinasan B'Sinai Amir Tzashem B'Yemos HaMashiach. And so, perhaps to serve as the best reminder of this uniqueness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a Torah Shebaal Peh out of a desire, or I shouldn't say created, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu augmented and tremendously magnified, tremendously brought about a ribui qualitatively and quantitatively in Torah Shebaal Peh as a result of the gzeira of Rashkicham Torasecha. So everything having to do with Chanukah is a machlokas. There's not one inyan that deals with Chanukah which is not a machlokas. And so what I'd like to go through with you briefly are the issues of where to light, the issue of who lights, the issue of when to light, and to bring the deos that I'd like to present to you as options as to what the kollel should be fulfilling during Hanukkah. So if you look at the pages that I gave you, so we start with the issue of where to light. So it's clear from the Gemara in Shabbos and the Kafala from the days, Ner Chanukah mitzvah anichas al perach Pesach beso mi bachutz. Only b'shas ha-sakana, we have a principle of menicha al shulchano v'dayo. And this is paskin like in the Shulchan Aruch, word for word. Ner Chanukah menicha Pesach ha-samach v'rishus rabim mi bachutz. Only b'shas ha-sakana, then menicha al shulchano v'dayo. The minhag, however, in Chutz La'aretz, is that even when there is not a shas sakana, we still light indoors. That's what's pointed out by the Chayei Adam. I just brought the Chayei Adam because it was easiest to, but the Chayei Adam, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the Mishneh Berurah, they all point out, Bizman hazeh shanu dorim bein ha'umos, minhagenu lahadli kol echad be'so. And the Ozarua already asked, in other words, this is not a new minhag, the Ozarua already asked at his time, at the end of the Tkufat Bal Yatosos, ha'idna deleka sakana, lo yedana mai taima einanu madlikim b'chatzeros. That this minhag of Chutz La'aretz, clearly it's post the time that already in the place of the Or Zarua, already there was such a minhag to light outdoors, to light indoors, even though leka sakana. So there are basically three approaches that we find within the Rishonim to explain why one would have such a minhag. One is working off of the Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah, originally the tkios were meant to be in Shacharis on Rosh Hashanah, Zrizin Makdimin. It was moved to Musaf because of Gzeras Hamalchus. Tosfos over there points out, and Daf Lamed Beis and Med Beis, Afal Pisha Batla Gzeras Hamalchus, if someone were to blow shofar in Shacharis, I don't think anything would happen to them anywhere in the world. Balo Avdinan Kidameikara, Afal Gav, that Zrizim Akdiman Lamitzos, and that is the real place for the Tkios, the Chayshinan Shema Yachzar Davar Likilkulo. That we have a concept of Shema Yachzar Davar Likilkulo. You know, I've been giving the Shir in Grus for the last close to 35 years, more than that, and at first I never understood what's the Shema Yachzar Davar Likilkulo. But nowadays, I think we all understand that in Europe, for a person to light outdoors would be a sakonas nefashos, and in America, in some places, it would also be a sakonas nefashos. So Shema Yachzor Hadava Lekilkulo, that the sakana could return, and therefore it doesn't pay to move outdoors because of the possibility of it returning, is a very, very real option, unfortunately. The Ritva, however, has a very different approach. The Ritva points out, Vishasa sakana menicha al shulchano, Los of Dover Sakonas Nefashos. Sakonas Nefashos, we don't need a Gemara to tell us that we shouldn't light outdoors. Pshita, a mitzvah sase, lo yeharek. But we're speaking about a Sakonas Tsar O Eva, Kamobit Sarfat. Already in the time of the Ritva in Spain, he knew what was going on in Sarfat, and that, okay, it wouldn't be Sakonas Nefashos, but it would be a broken window, it would be it was a flat tire, it would be a Sakonas of Tsar. Or Ava, that's already enough to move the lighting indoors. And then he continues and points out, Lefika Chaya Omer, Mori Harav, generally Mori Harav of the Ritva is generally the Ramban. Lefika Omer Mori Harav Zal, Kishenoshev Ruach, Shi'i Efshar Lahadlika Bachutz, Madlika Bithnim Beso. That's the Sakana. Would not necessarily be in terms of an individual's life or even his mental health, but simply a sakana that it won't last. That it's winter, and that's what the Aruch HaShulchan brings for his reasoning. V'hine ata einanu madlikim b'chutz afal pi she'ein sakana etzleinu. That even in the Varduk already there was no sakana. Mikol makom kimatu meham nimnaot. But to light outdoors is almost impossible. They should call Medino Shavanu in Europe, Eastern Europe particularly. Yemei Chanukah him yemei sagrir geshem v'shelag v'ruchos chazakim yevsher hanichan b'chutz, unless you're going to make a box. Imlogas giram b'zuchuchet. Kulei hai lo atrechuhu rabbanan. That we don't find in Chazal that a person has to buy a box, create a box, in order to be able to put his chanukiah. And so this is considered to be a form of sakana. But there's a third approach, and that's the Sefer HaYitur, which is an approach that would apply to other lochas as well, that b'shas ha-sakana menicha al shulchano v'dayo, v'achar she-nohagu al ha-sakana, nohagu. That we have a concept that of minhag avoseinu b'yadeinu, that even if the reason no longer exists, that's not a reason necessarily to change our pattern of behavior. And that creates the issues that we have here in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a country of individuals who have come, Baruch Hashem, who have come to Eretz Yisrael, me'arba kanfos tevel. All those arba kanfos tevel are chutz la'aretz, and in all of those arba kanfos tevel, the minhag is to light indoors, and the question is, what do you do when you come to Eretz Yisrael? So we find the machlokes achronim, the minchas Yitzchak, the Dayan of the Badatz of the Eda Charedis, Rav Yitzchak Weiss, and also there's a Sefer Dvar Yehoshua, written by Rav Yehoshua Ehrenberg, who was a Dayan in Tel Aviv. They write that, Masher Shenahagu Nahagu, we should follow Minhag Avoseinu, the way we live in Chutz Laretz, that's the way we should continue lighting in Eretz Yisrael. Hi, in Eretz Yisrael there's no Sakana, although in many places in Chutz Laretz there was no Sakana. Kevan Shenahagu Nahagu, that's currently the Minhag. However, there were many achronim, many modern-day poskim who say, no, we come back to Eretz Yisrael, so we return to Dina de Gemara. So all the Taminim of the Gra felt that way, Rabbi Mariel Diskin, Rabbi Chaim Zonenfeld, that's the way it's brought down in Luach Eretz Yisrael of Rav Tikhashinsky, which is at least we in the yeshiva try to view that as our gold standard. But who are then the Chazon Ish in Bnei Brak and Rav Yoshiv, Rav Shlomo Zalman? In other words, that basically the minhag of the Olam HaYeshivos is to light outdoors. However, Nara Naru Pashtei. In other words, if you were to make a poll of Eretz Yisrael, I think you'll find that about 50% of the people light indoors and about 50% of the people light outdoors. So it's these are two options. I want to discuss with you is where you should light if you light indoors and where you should light if you light outdoors, but it's your call as to whether you want to light indoors or outdoors. Both of them have certainly makoros that one could be somech on. If one lights indoors, so we have a Gemara on Daf Kaf Beis Amud Aleph, Amar Rabba, Ner Chanukah Mitzvah Lahanicha B'Tefach Hasmucha LePesach. On what side of the petach? So it says that's basically on yamin, but the halacha is that since we have a mezuzah miyamin hilchas on mismol kadei shiyehei near Chanukah mismol or mezuzah miyamin, that when you enter into the house you should be surrounded by mitzvahs, namely to light indoors inside of the when you open the door you would see a mezuzah on one side and you would see a ner Chanukah on the other side, and that's the way the mechaber brings the halacha in Tafresh Ayin Aleph Zayin Abitzu Lahanicha B'Tefach Hasamach LePesach Kadesh Mezuzah Miyamin Ner Chanukah Mismol. If there's no mezuzah then Miminicha Miyamin, etc. Comes along the Rama and says Umiyu Bisman Hazeh Kuhanu Madrikim Bifnim Ein Heker Lebnei Rishus HaRabim, and it's clear that Chazal had wanted l'chatchila that there should be such a heker. Ein Lachlish Kol Kachim Ein Madrikim B'Tefach Hasamoch LePesach. Ech Shelo Yeh, we're riding indoors. Umikol Makom Haminha Gahadlik B'Tefach Hasamoch LePetach Kamo B'Yemehem. Even though, again, that when it was set up in the Gemara, it was meant to be outdoors. That a person outside his house would look at a house and see the mezuzah mitzad yamin and the ner Chanukah mitzad smol. That's what the Gemara is referring to. But we've moved indoors. We move that same form of lighting to indoors. However, the Mishnah Brura over there says that even though the Rama ends off en l'shanos umikoma kamim yeshlo chalon hasamuch rishus harabim nachon yoser shianuchenu sham. He quotes the Magen Avram Shar Achronim that. Preferably, there should, even though we light indoors, there should be possibly a heker lebnei rishus harabim v'yisparsem hanes. Writes the Mishnah Berura, im lo b'makom d'shlicha hezeka. If by putting it in your window you're going to have a rako through your windows, then no. But if there's not an issue of that form of hezeka, so it's kedai to be to follow the minhag of writing indoors, but by a chalon hasamuch lirishus harabim. And that's, I think, what's generally mekubal, at least in Eretz Yisrael. It's certainly mekubal that those who light indoors light at a chalon which is facing rishus harabim. The question that exists is that what's brought in the Shar HaTziyun, what if the chalon is gavoa mikarka rishus harabim lamala me esrim ama? And then it's assuming that one's not going to have a heker to those who are walking in the street. Ein heker lebnei rishus harabim. Az tov yoser lo haniach bepetach. Then you go back to a preference of lighting it such that one is surrounded by mitzvahs when one enters into the house. The question is, what does this mean, biyameinu? So Rav Yashiv took this very, very literally, that we go after the height of the rishus harabim, let's say, take the apartment building of the Kollel, there is a street level. So within Esrim Amma, within about 30 feet up of the street level, namely two stories above the street level, then there would be a heker to the Rishus HaRabim. Above that, that's then already it would be adif to light indoors by the door. However, Moshe Feinstein said that it's all very, very relative to where people live. If one's on the Lower East Side, where Moshe Feinstein lived, where you have high rises, so a person on the 19th floor would look out of his window and he'd see the 19th floor of the building right across the other side of the park. And so he would light, and he would give a wave, and the person across from him would light, and he would give a wave. And even if they couldn't see one another waving, they would each see one other's chanukiyot. Someone's lighting in the YU dormitory on the seventh floor in Reuben Hall. So, you know, people driving on the Harlem River Drive will be able to see his chanukiyah. So someone on the Major Deegan Expressway will see his chanukiyah. And so that's viewed as a pirsumei nisim rishus harabim. So in Eretz Yisrael, most people take the approach of Moshe Feinstein. So let's say those individuals who have apartments that face towards Givat Mordechai would be able to light in their windows, and they would be seen by the people in Givat Mordechai, and the people in Givat Mordechai light by their windows, and they're seen by the families and groups. In other words, that you have that mutuality. So if one wants to light indoors, and basically one is living in one's apartment, so if one has a window which can be seen by Rabbim, that would be an adifut. If one doesn't have a window, the second adifut would be opposite the mezuzah, if that's simply not feasible from the structure of the apartment. So you can put it anywhere you want within the apartment and light it with a bracha. However, there are individuals on campus, even within the Kollel, who live in one place and eat in another place. Such as the Madrichim of Torah Traga. So they live in their Torah Traga hovels, and then they light they eat in the Chadar Ochel on a regular basis. So we have a halacha in the Ramah in Siman Tafrei Shayin Zayin Aleph. In other words, the Yesham Bisman Hazeh Shemadlikim Bifnim Mamash Yadlik B'Makom She Ochel. That if we have an individual who has one place where he sleeps and another place where he eats on a regular basis, then he should light where he eats. The question is this said only for individuals? Or was this said also if the place where one eats is a communal area? So in America, Rav Aaron Cutler in Lakewood, in Eretz Yisrael, the Chazon Ish, both said that it applies even if it's a communal area. It's better to light in the Chadar Ochel than to light in one's room. Rav Moshe, however, Paskin, no, that if one is allowed to light in one's room, we'll come to that in a minute, if one's allowed to light in one's room, then it's better to light in the room because one's room is a presume nisa of the ner ish ubeso, mashenkin the chadar ochel that is lost to a large degree. The same issue would be in a hotel. Again, assuming that you had two options in a hotel, to light in your room or to light in the dining room. So Rav Aaron Cutler and the Chazon Ish would say it's better to light in the dining room, follow the Ramah. Rav Moshe would say, but your room is your room, and the dining room is everyone's room. It'd be better if you could to light in your room. In hotels, generally, they don't allow you to light in your room, and they don't allow you to light in the chadar ochel. They want you to light in the lobby. Usually, the hotels set up, at least in Eretz Yisrael, they set up a big table in the lobby, and everyone lights there and sing Maoz Tzur, and you get sufganiyot, etc. So then, you know, it's what you have to do is just turn the lobby into your room. Namely, so take a book, take a sefer, learn in the lobby. What do you do in your room? So you learn, eat something. What do you do in your room? You eat, right? I wouldn't suggest necessarily sleeping in the lobby. I don't know if the hotel would appreciate that. But you can do some of your sorche bayis in the lobby and make it an extension of your bayis. So that's also an option. So Rabbi David in Torah Shraga has gone through different permutations, but the permutation of about the last 6-7 years is that everyone lights in the Chadar Ochel. They set up tables by the windows, not that the windows Chadar Ochel face anywhere, but they set up tables by the windows, and everyone lights in the Chadar Ochel, and that's the Shita of, again, of Aaron Cutler, of the Chazon Ish, to light the Makom She'ochel, even if it's a communal area. So certainly anyone in the Kolel who on a regular basis sleeps in one place and eats in the Chadar Ochel can certainly follow that opinion. However, I mentioned that 50% of the Israeli population, including most of Olam HaYeshivos, light outdoors. And so if you want to light outdoors, where do you light? So if you turn over the page of Maror Makomos, we have a machlokas here between Rashi and Tosas, how to understand the Gemara of Pesach Beso Mi Vachutz. That Rashi understands that you write at the Petach Beso to the Chotzer. Habateim hayu p'tuchim l'chotzer. Everyone has a Petach of his bayit to the Chotzer, and that's where every family would light. And Tosas says, no, that it means the Petach to the petach of the chotzer to the reshut harabim, the petach which moves outwards. Mari deleka, in other words, that when would you light at the petach beso, like the Gemara says, b'deleka chotzer, el habayis omeid samach reshut harabim, el v'miyesh chotzer lefnei habayis, mitzvah lehaniach al petach ha-chotzer, and that's the way we paskin. The Bir Halacha points out, Ritzono, that the language of the Mechaber is Pesach HaChotzer, Ritzono Lomar, Delo Kaperush Rashi, that we don't paskin over here like Rashi, but we paskin like Tosfos. So the question is, what does that mean, Halach Lemaisa, here on the campus? So, thanks to Ellie Michelle for raising the board. The campus over here is made up, if this is Giva Mordechai, okay, and this is Bayit Vegan. So our campus is here. I mean, this general area, right? Here's Vegan, here's Mountain. That we have the Kolel buildings, and we have the Torah Shraga area, and we have the small building, and then we have the Beis Medrash. So there is over here a paved area that anyone who wants to come to our building has to pass through this paved area. In Halacha, this paved area is called a Mavui. And over here, in front of the main building, we have another paved area, which is Rishus HaRabim. Even though I'm well aware there's certainly no 600,000 people walking through here, less than probably 15. But this is officially Rishus HaRabim. This is owned by the Iria. This is part of the Gruz campus. And each of these is a chotzer. Namely, that you have batim, let's say take this building, you have some 6 apartments, you have batim, that when you open the doors you have a stairwell, that's a chotzer, and then you go out and over here there is a yard, that's also part of a chotzer, and then there's an exit from this yard to the mavui. This is where one is going. There's no mezuzah over here, so one would light on the right side. You know, it's facing the chatzar. Hu adin, when the students from Torah Shraga come up for light. You know, it's from down below. In other words, if someone wanted to light, one would light also on the right side. No, he's coming. In other words, over here it's coming out. Where there would have been a mezuzah had there been a mezuzah. Did I get it right? In other words, over here. No? Yes. What?
Yeah, that tells me.
Right, if there was a mezuzah, it would be going
into the building. Right, over
right.
Here.
So should, yeah. Right.
Over here. Right. And this over here would be over here. Right. Sorry. And over here, so from all of the different towers and below, in other words, you have the swings and the beautiful tree, etc., of your chatzer, and you climb up a flight of stairs, and you get to a point where you hit the road. So over here, on the right side, where you would have had a mezuzah had this been an entrance to a house, this is where there's going to be tables for those who want a light. Just taking in the Orach HaShulchan into account, even though Baruch Shem, this is not Eastern Europe, and it's not Sagrir, but there hopefully will be Geshem, that it's up to you to buy a box if you want to light outdoors and to light in the box. I don't know if that's part of the packages that come from year to year towards you. So these are the places that one would light according to Tosfos. That's where the Chatzer hits the Mavui. That would be where to light. Okay? If someone lived in this building, to the best of my knowledge, no one does, so then one would light, on either side, either towards the Rosh Hashanah or towards the Mavui. But since this area is used by everyone who lives in this building, so this is the Mavui that would connect the different chatzeros that connect the different batim.
What's Rashi's opinion?
Rashi's opinion is that you'd light by your door. Okay. That you light by your door. Those who want to light indoors, inside, in other words, they sleep in their apartment, they eat in their apartment, they have a window facing Rosh Hashanah, they want to light indoors, they're not interested in buying a box, and certainly yesh lehem al mi lesmoch to light indoors, kevan shenahagu. Nahagu, it's only on one condition, and that is that someone be in the apartment for the time that the Chanukiah is lit. Okay? You can blow out the Chanukiah after it's lit sufficiently, we'll speak about that, but not to leave the Chanukiah, if you have reshus to light in your apartment, but not to leave the Chanukiah unattended. Yes?
If one wants to light, do they have to do one for the whole Hanukkah? Could one night they light outside and the next night light inside?
I think that one has to choose a minhag. In other words, one should choose a minhag. In other words, that those who light indoors is because they feel that one should light indoors. Those who light outdoors, one should light outdoors. A person should choose a minhag. Again, you could light indoors one year and outdoors another year, but not to go back and forth within the same zman.
A person normally has been lighting outside, but knows they're going to be in a hotel for one of the days in Hanukkah. Should they start the hotel lighting inside?
No. They're an achsanai in the hotel. That's a different gather. No. They should light the way they feel comfortable lighting. It's their home, and that's in their issue beso. When they're an achsanai, so then we'll speak about what an achsanai should do. Yes.
The first shraga, they light towards the mavli.
No. In other words, I'm saying that were someone to be in the Torah shraga, all light in the chadar ochel.
That's facing that way. Though.
The Chadar Ochel is on a separate plane. I don't know if anyone can see the windows. Well, maybe someone in Grus over here can see the windows on this side. But I don't know exactly. I think usually they set up on this side of the Chadar Ochel, right? That when you come up the stairs, you can see the Chanukiyot. Okay? That's where Torah Shraga lights. I'm just saying that if someone were to be a Madrich in Torah Shraga and wanted to light outdoors, this is where he should light. Yes?
We were speaking about how to understand Chatzer and the Mavui based on our campus. Let's say someone was living in like a regular apartment building, and you sort of mentioned the stairwell, that part inside the building is considered a Chatzer. So if someone was living in such a building, they would light outside, lighting by their door.
Lighting by, in other words, I live in Har Nof, we live in an apartment building, so there is... This is, it's the building, and over here is the street, and then there, you know, it's like a walkway. So where this is a sidewalk rather, this is a street. So over here is where everyone lives.
And in the front, not by like outside your door in the hallway.
No. Rashi says that. Rashi says to like by where the door enters into the chatzer. But we don't pass like Rashi. We paskin that when you have a chatzer, you light where the chatzer hits the mavui. So this area over here, this walkway, would be continuity of the chatzer. In other words, it enters into the chadar madrigot, and here you have the sidewalk and the street, so you light where the chatzer hits the sidewalk and the street. Yes?
One were to light inside, would they light by the window or the door?
So if there is a window face that can be seen by someone, once you light by the window. If one's window is not seen by anyone, so then the adifut would be to go after Dina de Gemara and to light by the door, even though we're lighting indoors. But I don't know exactly now particularly that with the shiputzim, I don't know where the apartments, how the doors open up to different apartments and whether there is really space on the two sides to have a chanukiah. In other words, when one is lighting in one's apartment, so one is supposed to light where it's above 3 tfachim, or below, you know, ideally also below 10 tfachim, in other words, unless it's a window, and then one can just put it by the window. Okay, so anyway, this arrangement over here, this is what's mekubal in any yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael that has a campus, that the campus is viewed as the mavui, and the dormitories are the chatzer, going to the mavui. So in Kol Torah, if you go over here, that's how Rosh HaMozam and Orba Paskin, that's Rav Yashiv Paskin for the yeshivas in his area, and this is what's generally mekubal. Again, it's going through different permutations. Had you been in the Kollel 20 years ago, then we would have, once upon a time, there were no gates. And so all the girls from Choref and et cetera used to come through here. And it would always change or come around this way. In other words, it would always change where exactly one would be. But now that everything is gated, so it's clear that we have over here a mavui. Okay, so that's in terms of where to light. In terms of who lights, right? So we have a halacha of ner ish ubeso, and the Gemara itself says we have a mahadrin, and a mahadrin min a mahadrin, and that according to Ashkenazim, what we have is that every individual should light candles that would be mosif v'holech. And so that's the way the Shulchan Aruch in the Ramah Paskins in Tafresh Ayin Aleph Beis, Yeshamim Chikol Echa Mibnei Habayis Yadlik V'chein Haminhag Pashut. The question is, what does this mean, Klape women, Klape a wife, Klape a daughter? And so the Gemara says, Isha Vaday Madlika, Nashim Chayavas B'ner Chanukah, Hein Hayu Ba'oso Hanes, and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, the Gemara, Kiloshona. The question is, under what circumstances was this Gemara meant? And so the Mishneh Berurah over there in Sivkat Antes, he ends up that this is kishe'ein ish babayit. In other words, if the husband is not, well, maybe there's no husband, maybe you have a young lady who's not married and she's living alone, or maybe you have an almana or a grusha, Or maybe you have a woman who's married, but her husband is in the army, or he's overseas. So then, certainly under all those circumstances, the woman should light, and she is lighting, and she is motziah, you know, where it's basically anyone who is in the house. However, what if the husband is home? So the Mishneh Berurah, that's a machlokas. The Mishneh Berurah quotes a Tshuvas Olas Shmuel, the Lididan de Madlikim Kol Echa Bifnei Atzmo, that even though we paskin like the Mahadrim and a Mahadrin, and according to Ashkenazim, that means that every individual lights, mikol makom isha ina tzricha lahadlik, dehav yirak tfeilot la'anashim. That we are dealing with a world that's explained by the Shar HaTzion as being ishto kegufo, v'chein kasu maharshal, yorava de ishto kegufo dame, ve'ina tzricha, in other words, that the woman can be yotze with the hadlaka of her husband. And so there are many homes where that is the minhag, that the father slash husband would light, and he would be motzi his wife without her lighting. However, I think we're all aware that in Europe, this was not the only minhag, like the Ola Shmuel. This was the minhag kanere in Rabin. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes. But in Lita, both Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Rav said that their mothers lit. In other words, that the wife lit with a bracha, that, you know, based on Isha Chayevet, that Afhein Hayu, Ba'oso Hanes. And so again, nara upashte. What if you and your wife come from homes in which the wife lit, so then she should light. If you come from homes in which the wife didn't light, so then the chora she shouldn't light. In terms of daughters, where we don't have a principle of ishto kegufo, so those say, tell us no ishto kegufo. There's a din of ner lekol echad ben echad, so every daughter should light. But it's well known that there's a tshuva of the Chasam Sofer, that even though nowadays we light indoors, but the original minhag was to light outdoors, called Kavuda Basmelech Pinima. Therefore, even girls don't light and are yotzei with the hadlaka of their father. Again, naru pashte. All of these minhagim are wonderful. You know, they all have a source. You can feel free to follow whatever the minhag of your family was, and if you have no minhag in the family, you have no sisters, so you can choose a minhag. I don't think any of them have any preference over any other. Ishto kegufo certainly is a principle. Ner ish, in other words, kol echad ve'echad being madlik is also a principle. Everything's based on principles, but we have a question as to which principle takes precedence, so that those are totally minhagim. And I think that, again, both all the minhagim have many, many adherents to them.
Should an unmarried woman light indoors?
Generally, what I have found is that most individuals light one Chanukiah outdoors, and all the other Chanukiyot of the house are actually lit indoors, even by children. Namely, if a person has six children, generally the father would light outdoors, and the six children would light by the windows indoors.
So girls should.
So girls, lechora, should also light. I mean, again, I'm not aware that more than one Chanukiah is lit outdoors.
Right.
If a person has a home with two entrances, so then, mitzad marasayin, he's supposed to light at both entrances. So theoretically, he can light, if he has a person has a daughter, he could light at one, and the daughter could light at the other. Not everyone agrees with the Chasam Sofer that kol kvoda bas melech penima trumps the hadlaka of kol echad ve'echad, even outdoors.
Even the Chasam Sofer would agree that she should be able to light indoors.
Certainly, right. Yeah. She could light indoors, but again, every family has different menagim. Yes?
If the wife is not lighting, she should be making bracha, just say amen.
The wife is not lighting, she should say amen to her husband's bracha. Ishto kugufo, she is yotze. Okay. In terms of when to light, here also we have an issue, even though the Gemara is quite clear. Mitzvasa mishetishka hachama ad shetichle regel min hashuk. But the question is, what does tishka hachama mean? Does it mean tchilas shkia, what we call shkia, or does it mean sof shkia, what we call seisa kochavim? That's a machlokas rishonim. The Rambam paskins tchilas shkia. The Rosh and the Tur paskin sof shkia. The Machaber over here says ein madlikim ner chanuka kodam shetishka hachama ela im sof shkiata. So the Grub points out that the Rambam is quoting the Mechaber is quoting the Rambam, but adds in the word sof. In other words, that's very cute. In other words, but the bottom line is that the Mechaber over here is bringing the shita of the Rush and the Tur. So the question is, we have this machokas rishonim, when do you light? Do you light at tchilas shkia, or do you light at tseis akochavim? So in terms of this machlokes, in Chutz La'aretz, to the best of my knowledge, everyone paskins like the language of the Shulchan Aruch, imsof shkiyasa, the Mishnah Berurah takes for granted seis hakochavim, and then you only have a question, well, what do you do with Ma'ariv? And so the Mishnah Berurah says that since Ma'ariv is a tadir, and tadir v'sheino tadir kodein, so what you should do is prepare the Chanukiah before Ma'ariv, and then go to David Mariv at Seisah Kochavim, Tadir Vesheno Tadir, and then run back to your house to light, because you have Ad Shetichla Regel Min Hashuk. Ad Shetichla Regel Min Hashuk, says the Mishnah Berurah, is a half hour after Seisah Kochavim. And so, since most people live within a half hour of their shuls, so after the Daven Mariv, they go back and they light their Chanukiyot within this time of between Sof Shkia and Tichla Regel Min Hashuk. And because Tichla Regel Min Hashuk is a half hour after Tzeis, so the amount of Shemen that you were to put in should be at least enough for a half hour, even if you're going to light 28 minutes after Tzeis, but you should light for at least minimally a half hour. Gosh, that's what the Mishnah Berurah paskins. Ikar zman hadlakaso is chatzi sha'a, and the time to light would ideally be tzeisah kochavim. But if you have a minyan from Mayriv, so it would be kedai. If you don't have a minyan from Mayriv, it would be kedai to be miyaktim lispelo Mayriv shehu tadir gam yesh ba mitzvahs kriyat shma shehu daraisa, and then to light that which you already prepared. But that's in Chutz La'aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, the Luach Eretz Yisrael says that the minhag in Eretz Yisrael is to light, like the Rambam, to light at Tchilas Shkia. But again, if you make a poll in Eretz Yisrael, you'll find that about 50% of the people light at Tchilas Shkia, and 50% of the people light at after Ma'ariv. And so again, you can choose whichever you want, or what you did when you were in yeshiva post high school. Generally the yeshiva generally goes according to Luach Eretz Yisrael. Luach Eretz Yisrael says to light at Shkia. My nafgamina when you light, the question is, how much oil do you need, or how long do the candles have to be? That everyone agrees the end of the time is a half hour after Tzeisah Kochavim. So if you're lighting after Tzeisah Kochavim, you need candles or shemen that'll last for a half hour. But if you're lighting at Shkia, you have to light that they will last from Shkia until Tzeis, and then another half hour. So from Shkia to Tzeis is about 20 minutes, and another half hour means that you should have candles that will be able to light for at least 50 minutes, or enough oil to go in for at least 50 minutes. That's the Iker Nafgamina as to when you should light it. In other words, when you're buying your candles, classically, the box that we buy in Chutz La'aretz that has, you know, it's a dreidel and most sur printed on the side, those candles last 29 minutes. I'm just joking. They last a half hour. They were meant to be lit after Tzeis. If you're lighting at Shkia, whether you're lighting indoors or outdoors, so either you should buy longer candles or you should use oil. We'll speak about the difference a little later. Okay. Again, these are what's called the ideal times of lighting, either a tchila shkia or sof shkia. Yes, Yona?
If someone has a minhag to daven Mariv beforehand, is it better for them to daven without a minyan in to light afterwards? Like, if there's no minyan at that time?
Someone is in a place where the Mariv minyan will be at 8 o'clock at night,
yeah,
and the question is what he should do? So Pashtas, he should light candles at Tchilas Tzeis, in other words, in Eretz Yisrael, that'd be, let's say, 5:05, and then he should have a daven with a minyan later on.
Even if that's not their minhag?
Again, what is his minhag?
I think the minhag is if they always lit after Mariv.
But that's only assuming there is a Mariv. If there's a minyan from Mariv only at 8 at 9, so then you'll light it at Tzeis, and then you'll daven. You shouldn't daven be yechidus if you can daven be tzibur. And when we speak of tadir beino tadir, that's assuming that you're davening in the ideal manner. But if you have a minyan later on, so keep the minyan later on. Maybe during Hanukkah, because people usually are home for candle lighting. In other words, as opposed to Chutz La'aretz, we'll discuss Chutz La'aretz in a minute. But in Eretz Yisrael, the calendar works more around the halachos rather than the halachos working around the calendar. It's Baruch Hashem. So there may be in your neighborhood, there may be an earlier minyan, during Hanukkah. You'll check it out. What about lighting not at this ideal time? So there is a famous story that I saw originally in the name of Rav Ruderman that he told about the Chafetz Chaim, but it's everyone tells a story about the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim also had a Rebbe. Who was the Rebbe of the Chafetz Chaim? Rav Nachumka of Horadna. He had a Rebbe, and he decided to go to Chanukah to see how is the Rebbe lit Chanukiyot. He wasn't a chassid to watch the Rebbe look at, you know, stare at the candles for who knows how long. He just wanted to see how he lit al pi halacha, according to which shitos did his Rebbe light. And he saw that Shkia came and went, so his Rebbe did not paskin like the Rambam. And then Tseis came and went, so he saw his Rebbe also didn't paskin like the Tur and the Rush. So how did his Rebbe paskin? That when his wife came home and put down her pekola, then he lit. Whatever time that was that she came home. And he said, my high, like, why are you lighting now? And so he said, because there's a Gemara, that if you only have one candle, and the question is, she use it for Shabbos or for Hanukkah? Shabbos, we have a concept of Shalom Bayis, and Hanukkah, we have a concept of Prisumi Nisa. So Gemara paskins that Shalom Bayis trumps Prisumi Nisa. If you only have one candle, you use it for Ner Shabbos, not for Ner Hanukkah. And so, one sees that Shalom Bayis trumps Ner Hanukkah. So Shalom Bayis is, my wife likes to be home when I light Hanukkah candles. I wait for her to come home to light Hanukkah candles. Which means that if someone's wife is working, she's not around, so then you ask your wife, would you like me to light at the time that the Luach says, or do you want me to wait for you? If she says, I want you to do everything, l'chatchila, and that for me is more important than anything, so then light according to Tchila Shkia, or right after Maariv. If she says, I always dreamed of being at Hanukkah candle lighting time, and I always appreciate it very much, so then you light when she comes home. She comes home at 7, she'll come home at 7. She comes home at 9, she'll come home at 9. Whenever she comes home, that's when you light together with her, mitzad shalom bayis. Is there a reason to light later because you have a seder of learning, etc.? So that's the machlokes chutz laaretz and Eretz Yisrael. In chutz laaretz, no one in YU lit before seder was over. Rav Schechter has his seder, Rav Chistin Zatzal has his seder. In other words, everyone has his seder, and when the seder is finished, it's only then one can think about lighting. In Eretz Yisrael, we light according to the calendar, so we move our Seder earlier. Okay? So Seder will begin, instead of beginning at 3, we'll begin at 2, and so instead of ending at 6:45, it'll end at either 4:40 if you light at Shkia, or at 5 if you light at Seis. Right? In other words, that you'll set up your Chanukiah during the lunch break, short lunch break, but you'll set up Chanukiah between 1 and 1:45, and aside from eating and saying hello to your wife, etc. And then, either at 4:40, you will run to light Hanukkah candles, and then run back to the Beis Medrash to David Maariv at 5:05, or you'll just stick around the Beis Medrash until 5. At 5:03, we'll speak about the Chanukiah and the Beis Medrash will be lit. At 5:05, there'll be Maariv, and then you'll go home to light Hanukkah candles right after Maariv, when you're still within the parameters of the half hour ad shetichla regel min hashuk l'chatchila. And again, and if your wife comes home later, so then you light later. In other words, and the candles should last, whether you're lighting indoors or outdoors, at least a half hour. Beseder? Okay. The Erev Shabbos and Motzei Shabbos have unique halachos. Erev Shabbos, you're well aware, you've been in Yerushalayim already for a few months, that we light candles in Yerushalayim first in the world, right? 40 minutes before Shkia. And one is, of course, supposed to light Hanukkah candles before one lights Shabbos candles. And so if you're lighting Shabbos candles 40 minutes before Shkia, so then Hanukkah candles should be lit also earlier. So what was done was that there is a dispensation to light Shabbos candles 25 minutes before Shkia, as opposed to 40 minutes, namely like the rest of Eretz Yisrael. And then the candles have to last 25 minutes from the time that you light them before Shkia until Shkia, and then another 25 minutes until 25 minutes until Tseis, and another half hour in terms of Achitichlo Regel Men Hashuk. So when the candles or the oil that you light on Erev Shabbos should last for an hour, all right? hour and
10 minutes.
Hour and 20 and 15 minutes?
20.
Hour and 20 minutes. So it's 20, 25, and 20, that's 45, and another half hour, an hour and 15 minutes minimally. Okay. You're about to light 40 minutes before. It's very, very nice, but then you have to have longer candles. So then it's 40 plus 20 plus 30, so that's already an hour and a half. So again, you know, it's make a cheshbon of maybe if you light with candles, light with Shabbos candles on Friday night rather than with regular candles so that they will last the hour and a quarter. In terms of oil, it just depends as to how much oil you put. Put enough oil that it'll last for the right amount of time. You can practice beforehand, or ask your friends. Mincha, since again we're dealing over here with the Chanukiah, which is kazeh zecher to the menorah, so we know that the korban tamid of Bein Harbayim was brought before the menorah was lit. So mincha should be davened before you light Hanukkah candles, which means that there should be in the yeshiva either a mincha gedola, or if you want to, just a mincha that would enable people to go home after mincha to light Hanukkah candles, Shabbos candles, and then come back for ma'ariv. But there should be an option in the yeshiva for things people to do things ideally. If you're in a community where there is no such minhag, and the only mincha minyan is the one that comes right before Kabbalah Shabbos, so then you will light Hanukkah candles before davening mincha. Okay, you light Hanukkah candles, have your wife light Shabbos candles, and then you'll go to mincha. Just a lechatchilo, if you could set it up in the right way, it would be better. Word to the gabbai. In terms of Motzei Shabbos, over here we also have differences of opinion. There are those that say Motzei Shabbos is just like a regular Motzei Shabbos. You look in the calendar when Shabbos is over, and then, you know, where it's after that you daven Ma'ariv and you go home, but you've missed that window. You're already a half hour after Tzeis by that time. But, you know, where it's, that's it. That's Motzei Shabbos. Let's assume people, Motzei Shabbos, walk around a little later, and so you should still light that it's just a half hour. But the minhag of the Gra, already in Europe, said that no, we have to take that half hour very, very seriously, and therefore he moved up Ma'ariv on Motzei Shabbos to be 23 minutes after Shkia. Okay, even before I would say Shkia is 4:40, so Ma'ariv Motzei Shabbos he said should be at 5:03, and with 23 minutes after Shkia you'll daven Ma'ariv. And then, assuming Ma'ariv is about 15 minutes, then at that point you will make havdalah and light Hanukkah candles, and you're still within the window of ad shetichla regel min hashuk from an ideal perspective, and that's what's done here in the yeshiva. Okay, that's brought down in Luach Eretz Yisrael. It says we change the times of Erev Shabbos and Motzei Shabbos. The candle lighting time of Erev Shabbos is 25 minutes before Shkia as opposed to 40 minutes. And Motzei Shabbos, we daven Ma'ariv 23 minutes after Shkia. And then 35 minutes after Shkia, that's when we already light, make Havdalah and light Hanukkah candles. What comes first, Havdalah or Hanukkah candles? So that's spoken of on that third page, that the Machaber Paskins, Madlikin der Chanukah v'Beis HaKnesses, Kodem Havdalah. That we have over here two issues. We have an issue of Pirsumei Nisa. We have an issue of Lafuke Yoma Tvei Odif. We have, in other words, to push off Havdalah as long as possible is considered to be a Lechatchila. And we have also an issue of Tadir v'sheino Tadir, Tadir Kodim. And clearly Havdalah takes precedence in terms of Tadir. So in the shul, those who still make, those who are Yotzei with Havdalah in the shul, the Machaber Paskins, Madlikim Ner Chanukah Beis HaKnesses, that the Pirsumei Nisa, and the Lafuke Yoma Trey Adif, pushing off Havdalah, trumps, it works first. And so we light first in Ner Chanukah, and the person who's lighting already, of course, said, you know, where it's Atachanantanu, he could already do Malacha, even before Havdalah. and then after Havdalah, in other words, one can eat. In terms of one's home, that's already two deos. That the Rama says, Kol Shekem Bebeisov Shemadlik V'Acharkach Mavdil. However, the Mishnah Berurah quotes many Achronim who disagree, and they say that in one's home, one should do the opposite. And he ends up, Bebir Havacha Hevenu Bazet Deos Ben Harishonim, Alkein Besakneses, Ein Lo Shana Shemino Kshinogu Yisrael Lohadli Kodem Acharkach Mavdil. Ubabayit, the Ovid Kamar Ovid, the Ovid Kamar Ovid. Mishnah Berurah already says you can do whatever you want in your home. If you want to know what great people did, so the Luach Eretz Yisrael, it says that in one's home one should do like in shul, to be madlik and then to be mavdil. The Chazon Ish was mavdil and then he was madlik. I didn't do a poll of anyone else. So whatever you do is fine. That's all I'm trying to point out. You can do it in whatever order you want in the home. Again, preferably, since we're davening Mariv early, in order to be able to light as soon as possible, so whatever one can prepare already from Erev Shabbos, it's kedai to prepare. Or if someone has a wife in the home, whatever she could prepare after saying Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kodesh L'cho before you come home, it would be kedai to prepare to be able to light as soon as possible. If one is a guest, we didn't discuss guests yet, did we? I'm sorry, back in the, in other words, after the times of the lighting, in terms of a guest. So let's say one is a guest during the course of the week. So it depends, how do you define a guest? If you have an aunt and an uncle who live in Rehavia, and they invite you to have supper with them one night during Hanukkah, you are not called a guest. In other words, you are living in your home. You're just going to be not home for a certain period of time. And so you should light Ner Ushubeso in your home. Either you'll light 40 minutes before Shkia, and if you're not going to be home at that time, sometime after Plag HaMincha, you would light with a bracha, with enough oil to last until a half hour after it says, or you'll light when you come home. As long as someone else is with you, anytime at night, you can light. So if you and your wife are invited out, so when the two of you come home, then light. If you're single and you're invited out, and you come home at an hour, which is normal, so just tap someone on the shoulder and say, come in while I light, and then light with a bracha. If you come home at an hour, which is not normal, so maybe arrange with someone, would you mind if I wake you up at 2 in the morning so that I can light with a bracha? And if you didn't do that, so light without a bracha. Lighting after the normal time should be done with someone else who can answer, who can be part of it, your presume nisa. If you're sleeping over someone's house, that's what we call an achsanai. Now, not just you're eating out, you're sleeping over someone's house, then you're considered to be temporarily part of their household, and then you have two minhagim. One is what the Mechaber says, lish tatef bepruta. In other words, give the fellow 10 agorot, and say that you want him to have you in mind when he lights, and this 10 agorot is for your part in the oil or the candles, and fine. However, if you're part of his household, then l'chatchila, we paskin mahadrin, everyone in the household should light, including the guest. So you can, you know, have menorah, have chanukiah, will travel. You can bring your chanukiah with you and light in his house. Or maybe he has an extra chanukiah. So those are the two options that the Mishnah Berurah says. Im yesh achsanai ner, if the achsanai has the ability of lighting on his own, yoser nachon lahadlik ba'atzmo, he should light in his own, like he would light in his own home, even if there are 10 people. 10 people light. So if he's going to a home where there are 9 people, and he'll be the 10th, so he should also light. But if he doesn't have a chanukiah, or the Baal Habayis says, I'm sorry, we have no room for another chanukiah, so then, be mishtatef bepruta with the hadlaka of the Baal Habayis. Using that line of reasoning, sorry, you wanted to ask?
If you were away for Shabbos Hanukkah, is it better to then light Motzei Shabbos there?
So following up Yaakov's point, what happens Motzei Shabbos? So using the line of reasoning we've spoken of up to now, since Motzei Shabbos you plan to return to your own home, you had a beautiful Shabbos in Beit Shemesh, but you plan to return home. Or you had a beautiful Shabbos in Tzfat, but you plan to return home. So where you're sleeping and where you're eating, that's your home. And so you should wait till you get back to home and then light. However, over here, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, it really depends. That Shabbos is something very unique. The kviyus of Shabbos can continue into Motzei Shabbos. For Haraya, we have a Malav HaMalka, Motzei Shabbos, which is called Sudas David HaMelech, which is the fourth Suda of Shabbos. Namely, that doesn't exist any other time during the course of the week. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, it depends how soon after Motzei Shabbos are you leaving. If you're leaving, like right after Motzei Shabbos, you know, you sort of like have your bags packed, and the moment that the Baal HaBayis, you know, finishes their candles and you get your sufganiya, you're out. So then, light at home, when you get home. But if you're sticking around the Baal HaBayis for a Malav HaMalka, you're not planning on leaving the house of the Baal HaBayis for an hour or two after Shabbos, so that's your kviyus. So then you will light by your host Friday and Motzei Shabbos. Okay, nafkamina, what you should bring with you or what you should prepare, v'chule, or biyotze with the Balabais is lighting, v'mishtate pepruta. But in any case, as opposed to during the course of the entire week, that everything goes after your home, ner ishu beso, where is your home, Motzei Shabbos, there is a possibility of viewing your host as your home. Okay? So all of this, you know, is very, very relative. You know, so you're going to ask me, well, what if you're going to stick around for an hour, not 2 hours? What if you're going to stick around and not eat Malav HaMalka? What if you... So, you know, use you'll be rabbis, so make believe you're already a rabbi, and someone from your shul will ask you the question, and whatever you're paskin for him, you're paskin for yourself. But the principles you should be aware of. Okay, so there are those that say that, again, you'll find all the opinions. In the elevator in my building, there's always a halacha yomis. So the week before Hanukkah, the halacha yomis is twice as long because every case has two opinions, minimally, sometimes three opinions. But there's no situation that has been brought the entire week before Hanukkah only has one opinion. In other words, there's always lighting at the kotel. Is that, should you light indoors? Should you light outdoors? You know, in other words, with a bracha, without a bracha. The upper level, in other words, well, you say this, and this say this, and this say this. In other words, every scenario is taken into account, and there's no scenario without more than one opinion. So that which I told you that it depends when you leave, that's from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And with that which is not in Luach Eretz Yisrael, generally the yeshiva goes after the psakim of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. But there are those that say that Motzei Shabbos you always light at your home whenever you get home. And those that say you always light by the Baal HaBayis no matter when you leave. And Shlomo Zalman says it depends. If you're pulling the kviyus of Shabbos into Motzei Shabbos and you're planning on remaining by the Baal HaBayis for a period of time, then light by him. If you're not pulling that kviyus in, but you're interested in getting back home as soon as possible, so then light when you get home. In terms of with what do we light, so everyone is aware that the Rama says Shemen Zayis Mitzvah Min Hamuvchar, and Mishnah Berurah explains because Ayadei Hashem and Nasa Hanes. However, the Shaar Tzion quotes the Maharal Miprag that you should only light with Shemen Zayit. Dafka b'Shemen, Shemen Neis Nasa b'Shemen. And the Mishnah Berurah says, Ein Nohagin Kavasim. But in Eretz Yisrael, again, most people are Nohag in Eretz Yisrael, or I shouldn't say that. It's 50-50. Okay, 50% of people light with oil, 50% light with candles, but certainly there's much more of an Inyan to light with oil in Eretz Yisrael than there is in Chutz La'aretz. In Chutz La'aretz, until fellows came to learn in Eretz Yisrael, everyone lit with candles. When fellows came back from Eretz Yisrael, that's when, you know, things got messy. And people began to light with oil, and then, you know, it's a question of where to light, and this dorm, and that dorm, and then b'chulei b'chulei. But up to that point, it was very, very simple. Everyone lit with candles in the window of their dorm room, and Shalom al Yisrael. But I'm well aware that in America, you know, it's kedai to move out of Washington Heights and to light, you know, where it's in Buffalo, New Jersey, in Buffalo, New York, and everything is fine. In terms of shuls, so the minhag in shuls is to light with a bracha. Even though it's a minhag and not a din, but b'chol zot we light with a bracha, including a shechianu on the first night. And in the shul, the lighting is done right before ma'ariv. And so that's what's mentioned. I put down on the luach downstairs. So if ma'ariv be at 5:05, one should light at 5:03. One should just be careful, Erev Shabbos, to be sure, to light, you know, where it's before Shabbos, for your lighting in, whoever's lighting in the Hanukkah Erev Shabbos, not to get involved, Chas V'Shalom, in Chilul Shabbos. And of course, the Hanukkah will be put on the south side of the Beis Medrash, which is by behind Rabbi Wierzbowski. And in the morning, everyone should see to it that the Hanukkah is lit before Shacharis, without a bracha. I think that's about it. Okay, so anyone has any questions? I tried to give it enough in advance that if you have to go out and buy a box, you can buy a box. If you have to think of what kind of candles you want to buy, you have enough time to think of what kind of candles, oil, etc. And if anyone has questions, also it's enough time to ask questions. You don't have to ask me. Feel free to ask any Rebbe that you want to ask. Okay, everyone should have a very, very meaningful time. And of course, Rabbi Eisenstein invites everyone to his home on Monday night, and hopefully Shai will be back tomorrow and arrange a bus. And if not, it'll be arranged on Sunday.
Thank you very much.